Hello everyone, welcome to this Pharmacology Difficult podcast, and today we are going to start with distribution, and without any delay we are going to start again. So distribution, after the drug reaches the blood, the drug is distributed actually to the various tissues, and this particular determination of the distribution of the drug is done by the volume of the distribution. It is also known as the apparent volume of distribution, and it is denoted by capital V small d or capital A, capital V and small d. Now, how would you define the volume of distribution? The volume that would be required to be distributed into the whole body, taking the body as a single compartment, it should be evenly distributed at the concentration measured in the plasma. If the dose was evenly distributed at the concentration measured in the plasma, so this is the definition of the volume of the distribution. So that is why we call it apparent volume of distribution, because it is a hypothetical parameter. Now, if more the drug is entering into the tissues, then it would have a higher volume of distribution and vice versa. So what are the factors on which the volume of distribution depends? The volume of distribution depends mainly upon the lipid solubility and the plasma protein binding. So the more the lipid soluble the drug is, the more it will cross the blood vessel and have a high volume of distribution. And if the drug is very much bound to the plasma proteins, that is, it has a high plasma protein binding, drugs like furosemide, warfarin, then benzodiazepines, calcium channel, they will actually bind more to the plasma protein, they will behave like a single molecule, and they will be less distributed. So just a list of the drugs having high plasma protein binding: warfarin, then diazepam, then cyclosporine, floxetine, chlordiazepoxide. These are the main drugs that have very high plasma protein binding and they have low volume of distribution. So next, one thing you need to keep in mind, that whatever the drug is bound, it is actually not available for the action. It is a free drug that is available for the action, and plasma protein binding makes a drug very long acting because it is not available freely for the action. Its metabolism is reduced. So we can say if the drug is more plasma protein bind, it is exposed to more of the displacement drug interactions from the binding site by the other drugs. And if the drug is more plasma protein bind, it is restricted to a particular place or compartment, and its volume of distribution is very low, so it has a higher risk of poisoning. And this poisoning can be removed by dialysis. Is mainly effective for all such kind of drugs having high plasma protein binding, but there are few exceptions where the dialysis is not effective, and these are antidepressants, antipsychotics, amphetamines, then digoxin, opioids, beta blockers, calcium channel blockers, quinidine. For all these drugs, dialysis is not a very effective process if their poisoning occurs. Now, so we can say that all in all, what is the plasma protein binding doing? It is increasing the duration of action of the drug. It is making the volume of distribution low, and the drugs are available for displacement drug reactions. And if the poisoning occurs, it can be benefited by dialysis. So things you need to remember, that dialysis is important or is useful only for those drugs which are sufficiently available in free concentration in the plasma. So, the drugs which have high volume of distribution, they cannot be easily removed by dialysis. For example, digoxin, propranolol, etc. So, drugs having low volume of distribution and low plasma protein binding, both the things should be low. Volume of distribution should be low, and low plasma protein binding, they can be easily removed by dialysis. And one good example of such drugs is salicylates. So, coming over to the volume of distribution, how can you calculate it? There is a proper formula for volume of distribution. It is equal to the dose administered IV upon the plasma concentration. Okay? So, it is a measure of the distribution of the drug. If it is more, that means more of the drug is in the tissues, and vice versa. If there is more drug in the tissues, then higher amount of drug or higher dose of drug is to be administered so that plasma concentration of the drug becomes higher. Now, initially such you have to give a high dose. That is, we have to give a loading dose. And this loading dose is generally given for the drugs having very high volume of distribution. So that is the initial dose, that is high loading dose is given. And to make the drug available for action in the plasma. So we can say that the main determinant of loading dose is volume of distribution. And one of the examples of very high volume of distribution is chloroquine. It is having the highest volume of distribution among the drugs. Next, let's talk about the metabolism. Now, liver is the main site of metabolism. And can have two kind of effects. Either a drug can be activated. And drugs can be activated from the inactivated drugs also. These inactive drugs, which convert into active drugs, they are known as prodrugs. And some of the others give rise to active metabolites from active compounds also. So any of the processes can occur. And if active metabolites are formed from the active compounds, good examples are minoxidil, levodopa, proton pump inhibitors are all prodrugs. Then AC inhibitors, except the captopril and the lisinopril, they all are prodrugs. Prednisone is a prodrug, methyldopa is a prodrug, clopidogrel is a prodrug. And these are some examples of the prodrugs. Then you should know what you should know about the metabolism is that it can be occur with the help of microsomal or non-microsomal enzymes. Microsomal enzymes, they are present in the smooth endoplasmic reticulum. And these microsomal enzymes, they can be induced and they can be inhibited also. Examples are monooxygenases, cytochrome P450, glucuronyl transferase, etc. And what kind of reactions they are performing? Oxidations, reductions, hydrolysis, glucuronide conjugation. Then non-microsomal, they are doing oxidation, reduction, hydrolysis. And all of the phase 2 reactions are doing except the glucuronide conjugations. Now, so when the metabolism is induced, then the concentration in the plasma is reduced and vice versa. If the metabolism is inhibited, the volume of the amount of the drug in the plasma is increased. Now, this is the thing you should know. Then what are the inducers and what are the inhibitors? A list of the inducers is phenytoin, very common, rifampicine, smoking, griseofulvin, carbamazepine, etc. And inhibitors are most important, valproate, ketoconazole, erythromycin, INH, tubercular drug, ciprofloxacin and cimetidine. Now, so there are some of the examples which are exceptions. The rate limiting enzyme of porphyrin synthesis, that is delta ALA synthase, is also a microsomal enzyme. And phenytoin and phenobarbital, they actually induce this delta ALA and increase the porphyrin synthesis. So, if such things are happening, then in the disease acute intermittent porphyria, these drugs, that is inducers, they are actually contraindicated because actually increase the porphyrin synthesis. That will be not useful in the acute intermittent porphyria. And one of the good examples and case of enzyme inhibitors, they will decrease the metabolism of the drugs. And because of that, the amount of the drug in the plasma increases, so they can be available for poisoning. More amount will be there in the plasma, they can induce poisoning of the drugs, toxicity. Now, what are the phases of the metabolic reactions? Phase 1 and phase 2. The phase 1 is non-synthetic phase and the phase 2 is actually synthetic phase, synthetic reactions. The function of the phase 1 is basically to attach a functional group. Phase 1 attaches a functional group to the drug and phase 2 attaches a conjugate to the drug. So phase 1 reaction can both be by microsomal and non-microsomal, oxidation, reduction and hydrolysis. And phase 2 reactions, microsomal ones, they are glucuronide conjugation. And non-microsomal ones are glutathione conjugation, acetylation, methylation, sulfation, etc. Now let's talk about cytochrome P450 enzymes. They are commonly abbreviated as CYP, that we all know. In P450, let's get to know about the nomenclature. P stands for pigment and it has light absorption at wavelength 450 nanometer. So that is why the CYP is followed by a number which denotes a family Then alphabet. Alphabet denotes a subfamily. And again a number, which is a specific isoform of the enzyme. That is CYP3A4. So 3 is a family, A is a subfamily, and 4 is a specific isoform of the enzyme. Now, the maximum content is of CYP3A4 only. Other enzymes are CYP2D6 and CYP2E1, 2C9, etc. So, this is all about the distribution and the metabolism. Now, in the next episode, we will be talking about the excretion and the elimination. So, again, I'm going to tell you, this is a kind of rapid revision and a kind of highlighted points are covered here. For the much details, you can refer to the larger textbooks, and this is a kind of a crash revision, a very quick revision of the highlighted points of the all the topics of the pharmacology, especially useful for the students or learners appearing for the competitive examinations.